Good morning, Westwood, Minnetonka, or Westwood, Chanhassen. It is so great to be here with you, and I have so looked forward to this opportunity for us to be together. And so, again, I say welcome to you and all of those that are viewing with us online. Now, I also have to welcome Westwood, Minnetonka, our new campus. But before I do, I have to get a little bit of help from you. That being, I know that when I introduce them, they are going to cheer. They're probably going to stand to their feet because they are so excited about what God is doing. And so together, if you would help, they can hear you over there through the live stream. So together, welcome, Westwood, Minnetonka. It is so great to be with you this morning. Let's give them a little bit of cheer. That's good. That's good. Okay. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'd like to know how many of you have been introduced to me this morning for the very first time. Raise your hand. You got introduced to me for the very first time. Okay. How many of you are trying to forget who I am? Raise your hand. No, that's not a good thing to say. Well, I am Mark Nelson, and I am the campus pastor. And it's so exciting to know that today is a really incredibly special day for me for so many reasons. Number one, I get to be here with you four services all day. That's great. And yes, today, this very day, to the hour, 6 months ago, Westwood held its first public service at its first multi-site location under the leadership of its first campus pastor. And so, let's give it up today for Westwood, Minnetonka on its half birthday. Yeah, that's great. Well, happy birthday, Minnetonka. You guys are the best. Absolute best. Well, I'm here to let you know that at Westwood, Minnetonka, we are honoring God on our new campus. And the campus is about 10 miles from here. It's mostly east and a little bit north. It's at the intersection of Minnetonka Boulevard and Williston Road. We meet in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They worship on Saturday, which makes the facility available to us on Sundays, and it's great. From the very first time that I stepped into that facility, I knew that it was God's special provision for us to extend our mission and to reach new people for Jesus Christ. At Westwood, Minnetonka, we're also loving people. And when it comes to people, I've come to the realization that what everybody really wants is place. They want a place, a safe place, a loving place, and that's the business that God is in. God is in the business of preparing for us a place, and I've come to the realization that that place isn't just in heaven. That place is also here on earth, not fully, but yet to come. And so when we gather together in our serve teams every single Sunday morning, we spend a little bit of time in prayer, and we always remind each other that we are creating a warm, an inviting, welcoming place for those in Christ and for those yet to be in Christ. We want Westwood to be that place for them. At Westwood, Minnetonka, we're transforming lives by inviting people into a process of worship, growth, and service that connects them relationally in environments through prayer, through God's word, through God's spirit that God uses to awaken, prepare, and bless people. Aren't they cute? Yeah. At Westwood, Minnetonka, we're reaching our community. In a world where it seems all respect for authority is questioned, we're choosing to submit to the local authorities that God has ordained. And we're praying for our police and for our fire department because they risk their lives every single day so that ours would be protected. If I could, I want to invite you to go back about a year. About a year ago, we began to invite people from Westwood, Chanhassen, who live closer to the Minnetonka campus, to consider making a one-year commitment. We called the 125 people that responded our core team. Today, and in the last 6 months, we have been able to attract 102 new households to Westwood, Minnetonka. We've seen an average attendance of about 250 through the summer, and 26% of Minnetonka participants are serving in some capacity. A few weeks ago, we did a survey of those that were present, and 98% of the people responded that, yes, checkbox, they would invite a friend, a family member, or a co-worker to our service. And that's really a good thing, because I need you to know that Westwood's strategy for reaching people is totally and completely dependent upon you and your willingness to be willing to extend an invitation to someone yet to be in Christ. God is blessing the efforts of Westwood, and I'm here to tell you this morning, Westwood, Minnetonka is doing well. How appropriate it is for me also to be able to introduce this morning a new sermon series, the title of which is Fit Church. Now, if you look at the image, you'll find up there a set of barbells, a water bottle, a bicycle, an apple. So I kind of thought, you know, Fit Church, we're going to talk about being a physically fit church. I was wrong. We're not talking about being a physically fit church. We are talking about being a missionally fit church. A church that's in line with the advancement of God's kingdom, love, hope, purpose, and peace on earth. Just like Jesus taught us to pray. Okay, so if I say, "Thy kingdom come," what would you say? Oh, man, you guys are so good. That doesn't work with every crowd. Just so you know. There's nothing like a fit church. When it's healthy and when it's functioning well. When it's functioning well, the Holy Spirit ultimately is in charge. And when the Holy Spirit is in charge, God's power is on the church. When God's power is on the church, lost people are getting found, and found people are growing up in Christ. So then, I have a question. What makes a church fit and healthy? To answer that question, we will turn to one of the most significant characters involved in church expansion. We will turn to the fit church expert, a man named Paul, and the words that he left us in the Bible. Now, do you remember 3 weeks ago in the Restart series, Grace to Change, Pastor Brian spoke of Saul and his encounter with God. We learned that he persecuted Christians before his restart, his radical conversion to Christ completely transformed his life. Saul was regenerated, made new by God's Spirit. And not only was his nature changed, but his name was changed as well. Saul became... Man, you guys are really good. I'll take you guys wherever I go. Problem is, I don't go very many places. So, in the Fit Church series, we will re-engage once again with Paul. A little bit later in his ministry, and we'll find him strategically planting new churches, passionately preaching Christ, and effectively communicating in his letters words of instruction as well as encouragement to the growing network of churches that he started. Now, before we do that, we need a little bit of backstory. The challenge is the passage that gives us that backstory is pretty long. It is Acts 17, 1 through 10. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to give you the MNEV version. which is the Mark Nelson edited version. And I'm going to read it in the voice of Paul. So here goes. Paul goes to Thessalonica on his church expanding mission. That's just the title. Let me set that up just a little bit. First century, no electricity, no cars, lots of dust, camels, no air exchangers. So let's join Paul, who journeys to Thessalonica, a beautiful seaport village on the Aegean Sea. Gorgeous harbor, salt air, northwest breeze. Whew, I can smell it. Paul finds the synagogue and for three consecutive Saturdays talks about Jesus. No microphones. Some Jews, many Greeks, and several prominent women believed and joined Paul. Paul knew how to preach. The Jews get jealous. They round up some troublemakers, form a mob, start a riot, and attempt to find Paul. And they accuse him of defying Caesar by proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. This is one big mess. The crowd, the city officials, and the whole city is turned upside down. Later, the believers send Paul away. And this is how the church in Thessalonica was started. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because our Fit Church series is based on a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica a few years later, where he gives clear directives on how the church is to be healthy, how it is to be fit. Now, over the four next weeks, we will look at parts of that letter, and we will explore how we together might apply them to the life that we share here at Westwood. Does that sound good? Sound good? Yeah, good. Well, today, we get to consider what it means to build one another up. We will discover how leaders are to be loved, supported, and encouraged by the church. So this morning, I have a few questions, and I am looking for a response. Westwood, do we want to encourage one another?
Yes.
Yeah, good. That's good. That's good. Do we want to respect our leaders?
Yes.
Okay. Do we want to be a fit church? Okay, well, that's good. Now, recently, I got a report back from a church that I was involved in founding way back on Sunday, February 25th, 1979. Gasp goes there. From 75 in a living room to over 2,000 in the 11 years that I was there, the church grew. What I found out is that Ocean Hills is now part of Mariners Church's multi-site strategy, which has four campuses, one in Irvine, Huntington Beach, Mission Viejo, and San Juan Capistrano, all in South Orange County, California. And so, God bless you, Ocean Hills. And I hope to join you soon. Not too soon, January... February, not this week. It is evident that God is blessing the multi-church strategy. And just as I have brought to you today a good report about what God is doing at Westwood Minnetonka, Paul wanted to know what was happening at the church that he started in Thessalonica. You with me so far? Yes goes there.
Yes.
If it's no, I'm dead. So he holds a staff meeting and decides to send a coworker. a co-worker named Timothy, and he sends him back to the church in Thessalonica to give it the leadership that it needed to grow and to get a report on its status. Timothy brought back a good report. He shared how the Thessalonians were thriving in their faith. Paul's response to that report is a letter that we find today in our Bible. If you have a Bible with you this morning, I invite you to find the letter, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to chapter 5, and I start at verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you and who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you or warn you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. This morning we are focusing on 60 words from Paul's letter to the young church in Thessalonica. And we are not starting at the beginning of the letter. We start in chapter 5, verse 11, and our first word is therefore. I cut out of my script, therefore what? So again, we need a little bit of backstory, and we find that backstory in chapter 1 through chapter 5, verse 10 makes sense. And I mistakenly said I was going to share something from Paul's perspective earlier. Now, let me share from Paul's perspective. Now, I envision Paul to be something between Peter Falk and Dustin Hoffman. And he's definitely from New York. So when I envision Paul, that's kind of the image that I work with. I'm not good with impersonation. So from Paul's perspective, I start my letter with an introduction. I move to a word of blessing. I add some personal reflection and a few words about the reliability of my message. I'm confident about that. I mention sending my co-worker Timothy to strengthen and encourage the church in faith. Then I share my concern for Thessalonica and how I am aware that outward persecution and inward temptation could be testing their vulnerable faith. And so I share my response to Timothy's encouraging report. But Timothy has just now come to us. He's come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. Now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you and in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may God, our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Paul continues. I then offer a little bit of advice concerning morality. I affirm their need to love one another. And I mention the importance of everybody minding their own business. I tell them to comfort one another with the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I encourage them to live in light of that reality. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up in faith, just as in fact you are doing. Paul wanted the church to know that a fit church encourages one another and builds each other up. Paul was all too aware of how easy it is for the church in Thessalonica to get discouraged. Their commitment to Jesus Christ put them at odds with the governmental structures and the religious powers of the city. Paul also realized that it was critical for the church to encourage one another and build one another up because there was not enough pastoral leadership to go around to meet every need. Everyone had to share in the responsibility. Paul wanted the church to understand that the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ opened the door and removed the barrier that separated humanity and God so that everyone has direct access to God, individually and personally. Everyone is to serve. Everyone is to bring a sacrifice. Everyone is to bring a sacrifice of praise. Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are doing. He notes that the church in Thessalonica is on the right track, and he wants them to stay on the right track. He continues, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish again or warn you. A fit church acknowledges leaders. Leaders who are identified by the fact that they work hard, extend care, and admonish or warn the church. Paul faced a critical challenge in his ministry. He was leadership poor. Imagine, if you will, starting a church in 3 weeks. And then leaving town. Paul knew that the work of building the church by growing people up in Christ had to be a work that everyone got involved in. He also understood that those who were willing to take the first steps in leadership in this crazy bottom-up rather than top-down thing called Christianity, he knew they needed all the help they could possibly get. How easy it was for the leaders in the church in Thessalonica to be taken for granted and sometimes completely ignored. Paul wants the church to acknowledge and therefore appreciate their leaders. He does this strategically by helping them identify who the leaders are. Paul says, if you see someone working hard, caring for you, and admonishing or warning you, there you have your leader. Once a leader is identified, Paul says, hold them. He says, hold them in highest regard. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. Paul offers three powerful principles in this verse. The first is hold them. There's a funny thing about holding people. And that is the first thing you have to do in order to hold somebody is you have to get close. You have to get close to them. And then you have to be willing to extend your arms. And then you have to be willing to lift them up. Holding implies close and lifted up. And then you have to have the inner strength and the fortitude to be able to keep them up, even if it's just for a little while. We are to encourage our leaders by holding them, by lifting them up. The second is we hold them in highest regard. In the original language, The Greek word in the text here is hyperekperissou, which means far beyond, exceedingly, in superabundance, not words that we use very often today in this entitled culture. And the third is we're to hold them in love. A fit church holds leaders in highest regard and holds them in love. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, defines love. And he says, love is... That was a test. Love is... Secondarily, he says, love is... kind. I changed the next word, so I'm not going to ask you to say it. I put reliable. Paul knew that love works every single time it's tried. Why? Because love never ends. You guys are a great group. You're really good. For the church to survive, Paul realized how critically important it was to hold, regard, and love leaders. A fit church holds leaders in love because of their work. It is interesting to note that Paul says we are to hold leaders in love because of their work. What Paul does not say is we are to hold leaders in love because they're really, really good at what they do. I'm so glad that's what Paul says. He chooses his words carefully because he knows that the goodness of our work is the work of God in us and through us. Paul pushes down leadership to the one another level in the church, and he does not make it contingent on our goodness. He makes it contingent on his goodness. Westwood, do we want to be a fit church? Encourage leaders in love. How? How do we encourage leaders in love? Well, I put together this fitness pledge. Could have called it a fit church pledge. But I wanted it to be personalized to me, and I wanted it to be personalized to you. So the pledge goes like this, and it starts with this idea. It starts with the willingness for us to be the one in one another. My fitness pledge. In order to be more fit, I will seek to be the one in one another. I will. Will you? Here's the ticket. Here's the ticket with a one another thing. It takes two people, and you're one of them. And I'm one of them. In order for us to become all that God intends, all that God intends for us to be in this life, we must connect relationally with other believers. Because this is the only place where we will connect with leaders that we can respect and that we can encourage in love. My fitness pledge. In order to be more fit, I will express appreciation to leaders. When we come into contact with someone who is working hard for us, who's caring for us, or admonishing or warning us, let's acknowledge them. Let's appreciate them on the spot with our words, or later with a note of gratitude in an envelope with a stamp. Snail mail. My fitness pledge. In order to be more fit, I will respect leaders because of their work. The work of the New Testament church is to be done by the people and not the priests. At Westwood, we call this staff resource lay-led. If you view me as the priest, well, I view you the same way. To me, you are the priesthood. My job as a pastor is not to do the work of the ministry, but to train you and equip you to do that work. So together we close by taking the fitness pledge, and I want to say it together, and it starts with in order. Ready? Ready? Okay. Here we go. In order to be more fit, I will seek to be the one in one another. Express appreciation to leaders. Respect leaders because of their work. Westwood, let's be a fit church. Let's be the one. Let's express appreciation. Let us be a church that respects leaders. Finally, Paul tells the church to live in peace because a fit church lives in peace with each other. The last six words of Paul that we examine today are, live in peace with each other. And the only hope we have, the only hope this world has, is for us to receive the gift of God's reconciliation through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that leads us to an opportunity together to gather one another around the Lord's table in communion. Let's prepare in prayer and reflection for a brief moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that is ours through Christ. We thank you for the ones that are gathered here, the ones that are near us, the ones that we need to be all that you have called us to be. And so as we prepare to break the bread and to drink of the cup, would you overwhelm us with your provision of Christ, who is our peace?